A week ago, we celebrated the resurrection, and we are always encouraged to live into the resurrection in our own lives. But that isn't always easy, is it? There are days when we prefer to just stay in bed, pull the covers over our head, and close out the world. Some days it seems easier and safer to lock the doors of our house and avoid the circumstances and peoples of our lives. Sometimes we just want to run away, hide, and not deal with the reality of our lives. Every time, however, we shut the doors of our life, our mind, or our heart, we imprison ourselves. For every person, event, and idea we lock out, regardless of the reason, we lock ourselves in. And that's what's happened to the disciples in today's gospel. It is Easter evening, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, the day they saw the empty tomb, the day Mary Magdalene announced, "I have seen the Lord." The disciples are gathered in the house. The doors are locked with fear. A week later, they're in the same place. It is the same house, the same walls, the same closed doors, the same locks. Nothing much has changed. Jesus' tomb is open and empty, but the disciples' house is closed and the doors locked tight. The house has become their tomb. They have locked themselves in. The doors of our tombs are always locked from the inside. All this, and it's only been 1 week. I wonder, 1 week after Easter, is our life different? Where are we living? In the freedom and joy of resurrection, or behind locked doors? How is our life different after Easter? And if it isn't, what are the locked doors of our life, our heart, our mind? When St. John describes the house, the doors, and the locks, he is speaking about more than a physical house with walls, doors on hinges, and deadbolts. He is describing the interior condition of the disciples. The locked places of our lives are always more about what is going on inside of us than around us. What are the closed places of your life? What keeps you in the tomb? Maybe, like the disciples, it is fear. Maybe it is questions or the conditions we place on our faith. Perhaps it is sorrow and loss. Maybe the wounds are so deep, it does not seem worth the risk to step outside. For others, it may be anger and resentment. Some seem unable or unwilling to open up to new ideas, possibilities, and change. Jesus is always entering the locked places in our lives. He comes Eastering in us. Unexpected, uninvited, and sometimes even unwanted, he steps into our closed lives, closed hearts, closed minds. Standing among us, he offers peace and breathes new life into us. He doesn't open the door for us, but but he gives us all we need so that we might open our own doors to a new life, a new creation, a new way of being. Now, believe me, I am not doing a commercial for the Curcio movement. Trust me. But when we first moved to Cary, the inner doors to my heart and soul were locked up, and I had thrown away the key. I was struggling with many issues, many questions. I was desperately seeking answers and couldn't seem to break the chains of my own anguish and grief. When John Gibson, who had been an associate rector here at St. Paul's during that time, asked if Craig and I would like to go to a Curcio weekend, we said no right away. When he asked again almost a year later, we reluctantly said yes. On the first night of Curcio, I heard a prayer that literally reached into my innermost being. It was simply, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Come, Holy Spirit. I felt it. And that one prayer had a profound effect on me. Something stirred, and before I knew it, I felt the empty space within me become whole again. Like the old Carole King song, I felt the earth move under my feet. I shed tears, not of sadness, but of utter joy and amazement. On some level, I realized that Jesus had never left me. It was I who had left him. But there in that room filled with lots of people, I heard Jesus' message, his whisper to me, "Peace be with you." And my world began to open up to new ideas and new possibilities. And in time, I found the courage to change and to reach outside of my comfort zone. And isn't that what God's promise is to us? And this is happening all the time. No matter where you are or who you are with, Christ stands among his people, among us, saying, "Peace be with you," breathing life into what looks lifeless. Regardless of the circumstances, Jesus shows up bringing peace, offering peace, embodying peace. Regardless of the circumstances, Jesus shows up bringing life, offering life, and embodying life. Life and peace are resurrection reality. They do not necessarily change the circumstances of our life and world. The hungry still need to be fed. The jobless still need work. And loved ones still die. But the life and peace of Jesus' resurrection enables us to meet and live through these circumstances. He gives us his peace, his breath, his life, and then sends us out. We are free to unlock the doors of our lives and step outside into his life. In closing, I would like to share this prayer that I recently discovered. Do you feel afraid? Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Do you feel you've let God down? Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Do you hear God calling you? Jesus says, "I am sending you." Do you feel empty and inadequate? Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Have you been shutting God out of your life? Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Do you want to know that Jesus is real? Jesus says, "Touch, taste, and receive me in the bread and the wine." Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." Amen.